Okay, let's continue where we left off. I actually have some notes. I have notes on this other device. I need a moment to put myself in order. Okay. I'm opening up my notes from yesterday, my preparation. All right, here we go. Let's learn now about, continue where we left off. We'll try to learn a little halacha and a little agada together. Shulchan Aruch. Okay, we're up to the part of the Seder called Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch is the Seuda. The only thing we have to remember is not to eat too much. Shulchan Aruch, at the end of Shulchan Aruch comes the eating of the afikoman. Think about it. When a person eats a meal the entire year round, is there ever a time when you eat a meal when you have to remember not to eat too much? You always should say to yourself, you always should be careful not to eat too much. It's not healthy. But is there any halachic reason for a person to be careful not to eat too much? I don't believe so. I'm not sure there is any su'udah the entire year where you have to be careful not to eat too much for halachic reasons. Your doctor may warn you not to eat too much. Your wife may warn you not to eat too much. Your children may warn you not to eat too much. But will a rabbi ever tell you not to eat too much at a su'uda? Su'udas mitzvah? Never. Lel Pesach is the only time when you have an obligation, the Rabbonim have told you, do not eat too much. Why? Because you have to eat the afikoman. And the halacha is the afikoman, you are not yoitze achilas afikoman if you eat it on a full stomach. If you are 100% full and it's painful for you to shovel down another two kezesim of matzah, you're not yoitze. So think about it. The Shulchan Aruch, the Su'uda of Lel Pesach, is a different type of meal. Every single thing about the Seder is different. I'll give you another example. Every meal, we begin by saying, Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. So it's the Lel Seder, and before you eat the matzah, you have an obligation to make a bracha. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokim Melech Olam, Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. So this bracha has pretty much nothing to do with the Seder. The Seder is about Lechem Oini, it's about Haggadah, Magid, Hallel. No, happens to be that you need to make a Birchas HaMoitzeh before you eat bread. That's not true. The Gemara in Masechta Brachos has a discussion, is the word, the correct nusach of the Bracha of HaMoitzi Lechem Min Aretz, Moitzi Lechem Min Aretz, or Hamoitzi lechem min aretz. I don't remember all the details, but the Gemara has a discussion, a very elaborate discussion as to the exact nusach of the Birchas Hamoitzi, and it borders on Yitzias Mitzrayim. Hamoitzi eschem me'eretz Mitzrayim. The Gemara analyzes the word moitzi versus the word hamoitzi and connects it to the theme of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Thus, when you make that bracha, Lel Pesach, HaMoitzi Lecha Min Haaretz, it's not just an ordinary bracha that you have to say, because whenever you eat bread, you have to make this bracha. The bracha has a new meaning, Lel Pesach, being that the Gemara itself, its discussion is as to the precise word for the bracha is HaMoitzi or Moitzi, and it borders on the translation and the meaning of HaMoitzi Eschem Mitachas Sivlois Mitzrayim. Likewise, the Su'uda of Shulchan Aruch is not just an ordinary meal, because the entire year when you eat an ordinary meal at a Su'udas Mitzvah, you do not have to be careful to hold back and not eat too much. Why can I eat? I eat whatever you want. It's a free country. Eat whatever you want. The only time the halacha demands of you that you should not eat too much is Lel Pesach, because you have to keep in your stomach enough space to eat the afikoimen. Okay, so that creates a new dimension to the Shulchan Aruch of Lel Pesach. The next thing we need to know about the Shulchan Aruch is the minhag to eat eggs. The Maharil, okay, many of the minhagim of Yisrael come from the Maharil. The Maharil says that a person should eat eggs. At the first thing he should eat at Lel Pesach are eggs, because eggs are a food of Avelim, of mourners. And Lel Pesach is the same day of the week as Tisha B'Av. And the Geula, and the fact that we are not eating the Korban Pesach, means that we are still in Galus. There is what to reflect upon. And therefore, before we begin to say there, the our Suda, we should eat eggs. Okay, let's come now to the next part of the Seder Tzofayim. After we eat the Suda, we come to the next part of the Seder Tzofayim, is where we eat the Afikoimen. Now, Afikoimen, how many kezesim does a person eat for Tzofayim? And the halacha is, l'chatchila, a person should eat two kezesim. Why two kezesim? One kezayis is zecher for the Korban Pesach, and the other kezayis is a zecher for the matzah that was... I'm sorry?
127, 120, 102, 91, 20, and 13, to be followed by Avinu Malkeinu, Achinu Kovet Yisrael, and Kibbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim.
So you click on that?
No, that's
no.
Okay, Mr. Elman, we're gonna continue learning. Could you mute yourself? We hear your conversation. Okay, Mr. Elman? Elio, do you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you mute yourself? Do you know how to mute yourself?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let's continue. So how many kezesim do we eat for tzofa? We eat two kezesim. One kezayis. Elio, do you know how to mute yourself? Elio, do you hear me? Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you. Now, how many kezesim do we eat for tzofin? Two. One kezayis, we eat zecher for the Korban Pesach. The second kezayis, we eat zecher for the matzah that was eaten together with the Korban Pesach. Al matzois umirorim yochluhu. Just like there is korech, v'zman shebeis ha-migdash yekayim hoye korech matzu mar v'oichlam b'yachad, tzofon, when we come to tzofon, we eat two kizesim. Again, one for a zecher le-Korban Pesach, and one a zecher for the matzah that was eaten together with the Korban Pesach. Now, being that this is a chumrah, to eat two kezesim, you don't have to eat the shear of a kezayis, of a larger shear of kezayis. You can be lenient and eat the smaller shear of a kezayis. Which basically mean, if you're eating a hand matzah, usually about a half of a hand matzah is equivalent to two kezesim. Okay, about a little bit more than a half of one hand matzah is equal to two kezesim. So when they talk about a kezayis, they really mean two kezesim. Two kezesim, a machine matzah, it's about 3/4 of one matzah, is equal to two kezesim. And those two kezesim that you are eating is a zecher for these two inyanim. If a person cannot eat that much, it's perfectly fine. Eat then just one kezayis. So one kezayis would then be pretty much 1/4 of a hand matzah, or a little bit more, or of a machine matzah, what would it be? It would be a third, but it would be basically 1/3 of a hand matzah. That's all you really need to eat for the afikoyman. If a person can, he should eat two kezesim. Again, that would be two-thirds of a hand matzah, of a machine matzah. Two-thirds of a machine matzah. And of a hand matzah, it's about a half of a hand matzah. Now, by the way, let's just review. Sachakol, remember we did this last year. Sachakol, how many kezesim of matzah do you eat throughout the entire seder? Lechatchila, if you can, don't kill yourself over this. But lechatchila, how many kezesim does a person eat over the entire seder? Five kezesim of matzah. Okay, five kezesim. How do you get five kezesim? When you make the bracha of Asher Hamotzi Lechem in Aretz, and then you say Asher Kedushonu B'mitzvos V'tzonu Al Achilas Matzah, that's two kezesim right there. A person lechatchila should eat when he makes the two, after he makes the bracha by Motzi Matzah, two kezesim. One kezai is for the Birchas Hamotzi, the top matzah, and one kezai is for the Lechem Oini of Al Achilas Matzah. Then, for koirech, you take another kezayis of matzah. And then for tzofon, you take another two kezesim of matzah. Now, being that you're eating multiple kezesim of matzah, you don't have to look for the chumris of the big shiurim, because you can be, once already eating more than one kezayis, you can be mekel, you're covered, because in sachakol you are eating more than a kezayis, so you can use the smaller shiurim for the kezayis. When you're dealing with a small shiur for a kezayis, a hand matzah, it's about something like a third of a hand matzah. And of a machine, it's all a machine matzah is maybe a little bit more. Machine matzah is a little bit more, but basically of a hand matzah is about a third. If you're going to eat, two kezesim, so you're eating basically two thirds of a hand matzah, and you're eating of a hand matzah a little bit more than that. The measurements are not at all precise, but sach hakol, we have to keep in mind that lechatchila, if a person can, he should eat on Pesach and throughout the entire seder. Five kezesim of matzah. A kezayis for the birchas hamoitzi, a kezayis for the bracha of asher kedushonu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu al achilas matzah, the lechem oini, a kezayis for koirech, and two kezesim for tzofin, which are, one is a zecher for the korban Pesach, and one is a zecher for the matzah that was eaten with the korban Pesach. Five kezesim. If a person cannot eat five kezesim, don't. All you need to eat is one kezayis the entire night. When should you eat one kezayis? Eat the kezayis by moitzi matzah. If a person cannot eat that mushroom, you make a moitzi matzah, you make eat one kezayis, and eat another kezayis at the very end of the meal for afi koyman. If you can't even do that, then just make one kezayis for moitzi matzah and don't eat the afikoyman. To the very least, the person should try to eat at least a third of a hand matzah or a half of a machine matzah. If a person eats that alone, he is yoytze, he has nothing to worry about. You yoytze the mitzvah derais of achilas matzah. Again, a person should at least eat at the night of the Seder in one shot within a time span of 4 minutes, at least a third of a machine matzah or a third of a hand matzah or a half of a machine matzah. That certainly counts as one full kezayis, and you yoytze the mitzvah deraisa. If a person is able and healthy and has the room in his stomach and has the discipline not to eat too much by the Shulchan Aruch to save space in his stomach for more matzah, then he can eat a grand total of five kezesim. One kezayis for hamotzi lechem in aretz, one kezayis for asher kedushonu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu al achilas matzah, one kezayis for koirech, one kezayis for a zecher l'korban pesach, and one kezayis for the matzah that was eaten together with the korban pesach that was consumed at the time at which we eat at for afi koyman. Okay, that is tzofin. Something very unique about tzofin. I think this is a very interesting dvar agada about tzofin. And that is, Shlomi, are you still there? Shlomi, you disappeared? And that is, tzofin does not have a bracha. We do not make a bracha when we fulfill the mitzvah derabanan of achilas afikoymen. Not only do we not make a bracha, we do not say anything. Now that is a very spooky concept. You think about it. Almost everything that we do is accompanied either by a bracha or by at least a dibur, an amira. Okay, yesterday we discussed at length yachatz. When we break the middle matzah, so I told you in the name of Rabelski, Zichron Levracha, he's very, very strong on this point, that the words of Holach Ma'anya is the amira that accompanies the breaking of the middle matzah. Just about everything that we do in Yados, in our mitzvahs and minhagim, is accompanied, our actions are accompanied with a blessing. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu al netilas lulav. When you go into the sukkah, you just don't go sit down in the sukkah. You make a bracha. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu leishev basukkah. When you recite Sfiras Oimer, Hayoim Yoim Echad Boimer, you first make a bracha. When you put on tefillah, you make a bracha. Not only do you make a bracha, many people, they recite the L'Shem Yichud. It is the Jewish way to embellish every single action that we do with a blessing, or the very least, a ceremony. There is a ceremony, there is an amira. We have to study all the mitzvahs to look at the ceremonial element of the mitzvah. Tzofayin is very, very unique in Jewish custom and law. Because Tzofayin is a very important part of the Seder. It gets its own mention, and yet there is no blessing. We don't make a bracha. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu al achilas afikoymen. We don't say anything. Chazal did not compose a nusach. So what do you do when you eat the matzah of tzofayin? Nothing. You just think. That's very scary. It's very, very frightening to think. To sit back and think about life. What's the purpose of all this? What are we here for? What's going to be tomorrow? It's a very frightening thing just to sit down and think. They say from Rav Chutner, he was very upset when he saw a yeshiva boy on the train or on the bus holding a sefer and learning from the sefer. He would say to the boy, "You have nothing to think about. Everywhere where you go, you have to have in front of you a sefer, and you have to shuckle and read the sefer. You always need to be told what to do. You have nothing to think about. Isn't there something in life, something in learning, in a decision you have to make about life that needs some serious thought?" You're on the bus. It's a very good time to reflect, to think, what should I do? How should I deal with any given situation? It's a frightening thing. Many people do not want to allow themselves a moment in time to think, because if they think, they will get frightened with the reality. Chazal were very, very clever. In the Seder, everything is scripted. Every single thing, we're told exactly what to do. Kadesh, Orchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, even Yachatz, Rabbi Belsky, that idea really resonates with me. The Amira, you don't just break the middle matzah, you make a statement. You break the middle matzah and you declare, Ho, Lach Ma'anya! I've now broken the matzah. I've made it into two pieces. This is the poor man's bread. Everything that we do has either a blessing, or Chazal gave us a nusach, what to say. Rabbi Mayevsky, Shalom Aleichem. You there?
Welcome, Shalom.
Okay, is it possible maybe you can try to mute your phone? Because it seems that we're getting some feedback from your phone.
All right. Okay.
Okay, maybe join us online. Try to join us on the computer. Maybe that'll make it easier for you, or on your smartphone. If you go to morningkollel.com, there's an icon. You can click on that icon that will bring you in. Okay, but going back
out. I know that icon is muted, but I don't have it on my screen right now, my iPhone. All right. I don't know. There was no sound in my background here.
Could be it's my mistake. Just maybe tap on the screen of your phone. And
no, there's no screen. I have my normal screen phone that I make a call on. That's what it looks like.
Okay. So going back, I find this to be very spooky, that Safain does not have a bracha and does not have a dibur. Think of it, you go. I always found it bizarre. You sit at the seder, and okay, we're done with Shulchan Aruch. Now it's Safain. What do you do? What do we do? Hey, just take some matzah and eat the matzah. Wait a minute. Shouldn't we be making a bracha? Shouldn't we be saying something? Isn't there a nusach to say? So I know you'll tell me that in some of the haggadahs they give you a l'shem yichud. You know, that's already a little bit over the top. There's nothing to say. Why not? It's so important. This mishnayis ein maftidin achar haPesach afikoyman. There's so much halacha that goes into the sugya of afikoyman. That's right. Chazal are telling you, they're giving you a very, very difficult task. They're telling you now, it's time to think. Sit down, take the Afikoyman. The Afikoyman represents Yemois HaMashiach. Afikoyman represents what is tzofun, what is hidden away for Klal Yisrael in the end of days, what is prepared for the tzaddikim in Olam Haba. It represents mystical concepts. Tzofen. It represents Yemos HaMashiach, Olam Haba. And that's right. There is nothing to say. There are no words. Chazal could not come up with a bracha or a nusach, how to express what we are supposed to be thinking at this moment in time. Each person has to be creative and reflect what's the end game? What's this all about? Here is the matzah that represents redemption, represents the Karban Pesach. It represents our beginning. It's a zecher for the Karban Pesach, which was the beginning of Klal Yisrael, but yet it's tzofun. It also represents what's being put away for us in Olam Haba after we leave this world and the state of this world in the times of Mashiach. What's the purpose of all this? How does all of this work? How do we relate to all of this? Give me something to say. Chazal said, no, we're not giving you anything to say. We want you to think. Just sit back, reflect. You, every single person, will be able to relate to this in their unique way. Kishem she'ein partzufeim shavos kach ein deoseim shavos. Just like no two people look alike, no two people think alike. Every single person will be able to reflect and relate to the times of Mashiach and their own destiny, their own Olam Haba, their own purpose in a unique way. This is the most frightening part of the Seder. The time when you have to think when you eat the Afikoyman. Okay, let's now continue. Everyone knows that Afikoyman must be eaten beheseba. If a person does not eat the Afikoyman beheseba, you got to do it all over again. You got to doodle over again, unless you already bench. If you already recited Birchas HaMazon, then too late. Too little, too late. But if a person did not yet recite Birchas HaMazon, then you should take another kezayis and eat it beheseba. Noshim, women also should eat it beheseba. After eating the Afikoyman, you're not allowed to eat, and you're not allowed to drink, except water. You're allowed to drink water. Why? Because we want the taste of the Afikoyman to remain with you when you go to sleep. As you close your eyes and enter dreamland, we want you to take with you into the Olam HaMachshava the taste of the matzah. So it is forbidden to eat or to drink any beverage with the exception of water. Water is permitted after you finish eating the afikomen. Of course, the yayin, I mean, you're going to drink wine. You have 2 cups of wine left to drink. That we can't help, but nothing else can be consumed or ingested. Okay, let's now go to Birchas HaMazon. This is something very interesting I came across yesterday. Birchas HaMazon, who leads the benching? Who are we mechabed to recite Rabbi Sai Nivarech? So ordinarily, the one that recites the bench, we honor the Baal HaBayis, the Rosh HaBayis is mechabed a guest. Why? Why would the Baal HaBayis want to honor a guest to lead the benching? Because the guest will bless the Baal HaBayis. We have to remember, we discussed this a couple of weeks ago, is that in times of Chazal, only one person would recite the Nusach of the Birchas HaMazon, and everyone else would listen carefully. So if the Baal HaBayis leads the benching, he just says the blessings and that's it. But if a guest recites the Birchas HaMazon, he doesn't just recite the blessings, he also recites a special bracha, a special prayer in honor of the host, the one that was so kind to pay for the meal. So in order that the Baal HaBayis should be blessed by his guest, it is ideal that the Baal HaBayis should allow the guest to lead the benching and recite the blessings and then also bless him, bless the host. That is the ideal thing to do ordinarily on an ordinary Shabbos, ordinary Yom Tov. The Baal HaBayis should be mechabed a guest. Now today it's not 100% correct because today every single person benches themselves. Unless you're a Sephardi, unless the Yemenites, they still follow this practice. But being that today the custom is every single person recites the Birchas HaMazon from a bencher, so there's no harm done if the Baal HaBayis leads the benching. The guest can still recite the Yehi Ratzon in honor of the host. So today, the truth is, there really is not much of an advantage to giving the benching to a guest, because the guest can still bless the host even if he does not lead the benching as we commonly do. Yet, we still continue the tradition more or less. However, at the Lel Seder, the rule is the one that leads the benching should be only the Rosh HaBayis. Okay, it's not a time to give out honors. If you are the Rosh HaBayis and you invite people to come to your Seder, the one that should make the blessing, lead the benching, should be the Baal HaBayis, not the guest, no matter who they are. Why? Because of the rule of Toiv Ayin Hu Yivarech. Toiv Ayin Hu Yivarech. There's a rule called the one who is generous is the one who blesses. The one that expresses generosity is the one that deserves to lead the blessings. So you'll ask me a question, so why then on a regular, ordinary Friday night or Shabbos day, do we not say the same principle? The one that is generous should lead the benching. I'm the host. I'm the host. If I'm the host, who's paying for the meal? I'm paying for the meal. Therefore, I should lead the benching. So the answer is, so what? Just because you are the host does not necessarily mean you are so generous. Maybe you have ulterior motives. Maybe there's reciprocation. Today I'm coming, you're eating by me, tomorrow I'm coming to you. It's not a guarantee that because you're hosting a meal that you are fulfilling Chazal's dictum of Toiv Ayin Hu Yivarech. There is one meal the entire year where we can say with certainty that the Rosh HaBayis is fulfilling the rule of Toiv Ayin, a generous person, Hu Yivarech. And when is that night? When is that meal? The Lel Seder. Why? Because the very beginning of the Seder begins with the words of Holach Ma'anya, Di Achola Avosona Ba'ara Demitzrayim, called Ditzrich Yesei v'yifsach. Kol dichvin yesei v'yechal. I reversed it the other way around. Kol dichvin yesei v'yechal. Anyone who is hungry, let them come and eat. Who is the one that makes that statement? Now, I know today we live in a world where everyone is all mixed up, but the real way to conduct the Seder is the Rosh Habayis, Shlomo Rabinowitz sent me a message. We don't want to do that this year because of social distancing. Okay, you don't want to invite guests this year to your Seder because you're afraid of social distancing. Okay, but let's put that aside. Generally, who is the one who leads the Seder and recites the text of the Haggadah? It is the Rosh Habayis. Even if you have guests in your home, you don't allow them to recite the Haggadah. According to the Rambam learns that the only one that reads the Haggadah is the Rosh Habayis. He has a Haggadah in front of him, and he reads the Haggadah. And everyone very quietly and patiently listens to him say the Haggadah word for word. No one at the table is saying anything. They're listening. Thus, who is the only one that says the words, Kol Dichvin? Is there anyone out there that is hungry? Yesei v'yechol. Let him come eat. Anyone who needs to participate in the Karban Pesach, I invite you to participate. The Rosh Habayis is making a declaration, I am here to serve. I am here to share my food with you. He has made a declaration that qualifies as him being a toiv ayin, a generous person. And therefore we fulfill the end of the pasuk that says, Hu yivarech. He is there, the one, which Chazal interprets this to mean, he is the one that should lead the birchas hamazon. So the whole year round, even if your friend invites you to a gourmet meal, and he paid the caterer $1,000 to serve this delicious meal, and you would argue that he's a very generous person, and that would demand that he should be the one that should lead the benching, guess what? No guarantees. No guarantees just because a person spent $1,000 on a gourmet meal and is serving you the gourmet meal that we consider him to be toiv ayin hu yivarech, because it may very well be he has ulterior motives. Maybe he wants that next week you should invite him to your home and you should hire a caterer for $2,000 and serve even better food. Or maybe this is payback for some business venture that has gone well or has gone not so well, whatever it may be. Only on the Lel Pesach, where Chazal instructed the Rosh Habayis to say the words, Kol Dichvin Yesei V'Yechol, Kol Ditzrich Yesei V'Yifsach. Here we can have faith that the Rosh Habayis, who is supposed to be the only one who says these words, is making a declaration that he indeed is generous. Here we can be certain that we are fulfilling Toiv Ayin, and therefore we now fulfill the other end of the pasuk, Hu Yivarech. He, the Rosh Habayis, should be the one to lead the Birchas Hamazon. Okay, so that's
Rabbi,
yes.
Did I hear you say the other participants don't read the Haggadah?
According to the Rambam, they do not. I thought today we're all mixed up. Today everyone reads the Haggadah. Everyone must read the Haggadah themselves today. But me'ikar hadin, according to the letter of the law, the proper tzura, the proper form of a seder is for the head of the household, for only him to say the Haggadah.
All right, but at least he can set the pace for the others.
Correct. That's what the Rambam says. The Rambam says that no one says a word. The halal is different. But let's talk about the Haggadah. The Haggadah is recited only by the Rosh HaMishpacha. Today, again, we all say the Haggadah. But we still, to a degree, preserve the image, this template, where the leader of the household is in charge. He sets the pace. And when he sets the pace, he's the one that declares, Kol Ditzrich Yesei V'Yechol. Anyone that is in need, let them come and eat. That declaration entitles him to be the one who leads the benching. You don't have the equivalent of this anywhere else in any meal throughout the entire year. You never have a meal where there is a requirement for him to make a declaration called Dichvin Yesei V'Yechol. There's no declaration of his generosity. It may be that he is very generous. It may be that he's supporting 1,000 people. He's serving a gourmet meal for 1,000,000 people. It may very well be. But you don't have in halacha a statement from a Baal HaBayis called Ditzrich Yesei V'Yechol, except for Lel Pesach. And that statement thus entitles him to be the one who recites the Birchas HaMozen. Okay, so it's a very interesting idea. Okay, so it's not a time to give out honors at the Seder to let a guest lead the benching. We're all very sensitive to this. When you have a guest in your home, probably all of you are very quick to ask the guest to lead the benching, but not Lel Pesach. That's the halacha. Okay, next, let's now jump to Hallel. After we recite Birchas HaMazon, we make a bracha. The third cup of Yayin is consumed over the Birchas HaMazon. Now, by the way, one other thing I want to mention over here in the Birchas HaMazon is very unique, that we have a very unique Harachamon. Harachamon, what do we say in the Harachamon? Harachamon, did anyone remember the Harachamon? We have a very interesting Harachamon in the Birchas HaMazon, a night when the Tzadikim are Yoishvim, the Atroiseyim Birosheyim, the Nenim Miziv Hashchina. Okay, that is quite a statement to make on the Lel Pesach. In the Nusach of the Birchas HaMazon,
in whose Nusach?
I
don't remember that.
You don't have that Nusach in the Birchas HaMazon? Let me turn to the page.
I don't have any. In any Haggadah I can remember, I don't have any change in the Harachmans.
Here is the Maya Haggadah in front of me. Harachamon hu yanchi leinu yoim shekuloi toiv. Liyoim shekuloi oroich. Tzadikim yoishvim ve'atroiseyem biroshem. A day that's long. A day where tzadikim sit, their crowns are on their heads. V'nenim miziv hashchina. They derive benefit from the radiance of the Shechina, and then we conclude v'hi chelkenu imohem, may our portion be together with them. You do not have that in your Haggadah?
No,
I think it's an Indian of Nusach, Ashkenazi Nusach, and I think these Hasidim have the long thing, all the Yom Tov they mention, all the Yom Tovim, Atroseim Yosheim.
All of the Yom Tovim? I'm not familiar with that, okay, but I was not aware. To me, I was pretty...
Nusach Ashkenaz does not have it. Nusach
Sfarad
and the Hasidim have it.
Nusach Ashkenaz, I'm not aware. All of the Haggadahs that I am familiar with have this Harachamon. This very unique Harachamon. That Tzadikim Yoishim V'Adroisem V'Roshem V'Nenem Yizev Ashkina V'Yichal Keni Mohem. This is something that is very, very unique, very rare. The entire expression is Kabbalistic. And it is inserted into the Nusach of the Birchas HaMazon.
Parenthetically.
Yeah?
They have it parenthetically.
Okay, now what about Sukkos? What do we do on Sukkos? Harachamon hu yokim lanu es Sukkos David Hanoi Foles. Okay, another unique Nusach. So these two are the only ones where we add this, where we change the Harachamon. Now, the Harachamon is a very big topic in and of itself, not for now, but I was always intrigued by this Harachamon. The Harachamon of Hu Yokim Lanu Es Sukkos David Hanoifoles, I remember learning this year, there's a discussion amongst the Poskim, are you only supposed to say that the first 2 days on Yom Tov, or do you also say it on Chol HaMoed? And I think the consensus of most of the Poskim is that you should say it the entire Sukkis, including Chol HaMoed. However, it's clear that the harachamon of Yoim Shekuloi Oroich, Yoim Shetzadikim Yoishim, the Atro Seyem Roshem, the Nenem Miziv Ashkin Vichkanimoyem, is only for the Lel Pesach. It's not something that you say during the entire Pesach. And the reason why it's important to know this is more often than not, people do not have benchers for Pesach. And when it comes time to bench, what do? You scramble and you take out your Haggadah. Right. Isn't that very common amongst most people? Most people do not have a bencher for Pesach. And they take out the Haggadah and they turn to Borech and they read the Birchas HaMazon and then they come to the Harachamon and you come Harachamon hu yanchilenu yoim shekuloi toiv. And then you get confused. Do you continue to recite the words Yoim Shekuloi Oroich Yoim Shetzadikim Yoishim Bi Atroisem Biroshem Venenim Izvashchina? The answer is no, you do not. You just stop with the words Sarachamon Hu Yanchilenu Yoim Shekuloi Toif. And don't get confused with Sukkos, where we do say Harachamon Hu Yokim Lanu as Sukkas David Hanoi Folos, that we do say the entire Sukkos, including Chol HaMoed, but not on Pesach. Pesach, we only say this Nusach only at the Seder itself. Okay, next quick topic. I want to talk a little bit about just one more thing, then we're going to stop. Then I want to talk about very quickly about Yom Kippur Katan. One last thing is Shefoi Chamoscha. After Birchas HaMazon, we recite Halal. Here's a question. Why don't we make a blessing on the recital of Hallel at the Seder? When we recite Hallel, we're very swift to make a blessing on Hallel. How do I know this to be true? We make a bracha even on Chatzi Hallel every Rosh Chodesh. That's a very big chiddush. Tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. Tomorrow, Ashkenazim, everyone says Chatzi Hallel, half Hallel, this means that we leave out two paragraphs, and Ashkenazim make a brach, Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvayse v'tzivanu, likroy es ha-Hallel. Right, we say make a bracha on Hallel. There are those that indeed do not make a bracha on Hallel in Rosh Chodesh, and some have the custom where only the Shliach Tzibur makes the bracha, and everyone else does not make the bracha. But amongst most of us, Ashkenazim, everyone makes a bracha. Why make a bracha? It's not a yomtif, Rosh Chodesh. Why make a bracha? Especially if we're only going to recite part of the Hallel, we don't recite the entire Hallel, why should we make a bracha? So the answer is, so what? We want to make a bracha. It's a custom to recite Hallel, or at least part of Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, because we have a belief that the time will come, Mashiach will come, will be restored into a full-fledged Yom Tov, and once again we will be reciting Hallel. So therefore, Al Shem Ha'osir, we're going to recite Hallel now with a blessing. So what do we take away from that? Chazal were very eager to allow a person to recite Hallel, even if you don't have the perfect conditions. If that's the case, why can't we make a bracha on Hallel that we recite at the Seder? It's a very tough question. Why don't we recite Hallel at make a bracha? So the answer is, it's hard to find a good answer, but the Hallel that we recite at the Seder is problematic for many reasons. The main reason is we split it up. Half is recited before Shulchan Aruch, and the other half is recited after Shulchan Aruch. Splitting it into two major chunks is worse than what we do on Rosh Chodesh, when at least everything that we do recite, in one location, standing, without dividing it, without being mafsik in the middle.
That is why
on Pesach.
That is why by Maariv there's no such fire. will say the whole Hallel.
To make it up. Right. So there they say it with a bracha because they're saying it in one shot in one location. Being that we are going to break it up between half before the Suda, half after the Suda, and we're also going to recite it sitting, not standing, this takes away from the chashivos of the Hallel to downgrade it to the point where you cannot make a bracha. It's almost as if Chazal are going out of their way to find reasons not to make a bracha. In other words, it may have very well been that we should be required to stand up to say the Hallel. We should be required to say the entire Hallel at the Seder from beginning to end. For whatever reason, Chazal did not want us to make a bracha on the Hallel that we say at the Seder. They therefore took the Hallel and they damaged it. How did they damage the Hallel to prevent us from making a bracha? They did three things. Listen to this, very include this. They did three major things to basically damage the Hallel to prevent us from making a bracha. Number one, they told us to say the Hallel sitting. Hallel is meant to be said standing. Chazal explained that Hallel is in essence a testimony. We're saying testimony to Hashem that you have been good to us, you have saved us, you have blessed us, you have been kind to us. In essence, Hallel is a testimony. Testimony should be said standing. Chazal said, if you're going to say it standing, you may very well have to make a bracha. We do not want you to make a bracha. So you know what? Damage the quality of the Hallel by saying Hallel sitting. Number two, you know what? Don't say the Hallel in one shot. Be mafsik. Be mafsik with the greatest hefsik you can possibly have. Eat a meal in between the first part of the Hallel and the second part of the Hallel. That will certainly prevent you from being able to make a bracha on the Hallel. The third thing Chazal did to damage the Hallel is to tell us to recite Shefoich Chamoscha El Hagoyim Asher Lo Yudu'ucha right before you say the second part of Hallel, right smack in the middle. The piyut of Shefoich Chamoscha is the worst thing you can possibly say in the middle of Hallel. The worst thing you can possibly say. If you're saying Hallel to Hashem, Hashem, thank you so much for your kindness, for the miracles, for the chasadim. And then in the middle to say, Ribbono Shel Olam, they're killing us, they're murdering us, they're torturing us, we're suffering, we can't take this anymore, can you please do something and help us and wipe out these evildoers? What? That's the diametric opposite. That's the antithesis of what you're trying to do when you say Hallel. If you're saying Hallel, you're acknowledging we have no enemies. Our enemies are long gone. Everything is fine and good. We're in a state of peace. Shefoich Hamoscha is a desperate plea of help. S.O.S. Hashem, please save us. We're about to die. We're drowning. There are no miracles. We're suffering. Where are you? We're in a state of desperation. The piyut of Shevoich HaMoscha sticks out, not like a sore thumb, like a sore hand. It doesn't belong here, in the middle of Hallel. We recite the first half of Hallel, and then we take a break, which itself is extremely bizarre. Why are you taking a break in the middle of Hallel? Keep on going. And then not only do we take a break, first also we're sitting. Why are you sitting? If you're saying Hallel, get up and say Hallel, because Hallel is meant to be said as a testimony to thank Hashem for his kindness. And then to really make it bad, is in the middle of the Hallel of thanking Hashem for your incredible miracles, we say to Hashem, Hashem, if you don't help us, we're dead. We've reached the point of Bohu Mayim Ad Nafesh. There are no miracles, there's no salvation, no one is coming to our aid, no one cares about us, we're done, we're finished, we give up, we're waving the white flag. What? Why would Chazal put this piyut right in the middle of Hallel? And the answer is, they did it deliberately to damage the potency of the Hallel to prevent us from being able to make a bracha. The Chazal feel so guilty. They have this guilt. Why didn't we establish that Hallel be recited with a blessing set the way it should ordinarily be done when we recite Hallel? And the answer is they don't want us to make a bracha. Why? Pretty obviously, because Akate Avde Achashverosh Anan. We are still in Golus. We are in Golus. We are suffering. The Geula has not yet come. The miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim is just a source of inspiration. It's a template for the ultimate Geula, but the Geula has not yet come. So we're sorry, Klal Yisrael. We're very, very sorry. When you're going to recite Hallel on the Lel Pesach, you can't make that bracha, because it's incomplete. Oh, but technically, according to the laws of Shulchan Aruch, the bracha should be said. You're right. The bracha should be said. We should really put aside the hashkafa that we're in Golos and we don't want. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to ruin it for you. We're going to go out of our way to ruin it so that you can't make a bracha. How are we going to ruin it? Number one, sit down when you say it. Number two, be mafsik in the middle with the ultimate hefsik of eating a Shulchan Aruch. And number three, why don't you say a piyut from Tisha B'Av in the middle of Hallel, which will certainly poison the theme of Hallel to prevent you from being able to make that bracha. That is why Shefei Chamascha appears where it does. Even if we would want to say Shefei Chamascha for whatever reason we may want to do so, it's super duper bizarre that it's positioned in the middle of Hallel. It should have been said in the beginning of the Haggadah, or it should be said at the end of the Haggadah, but not in the middle of Hallel. The answer is we put it there to damper or to prevent you from making that bracha. Okay, Rabbi, says something happened over here. Did I lose you? Rabbi Sai, did I lose you? Sorry about that. I lost you for a second, okay? My fault.
Not only was the Hallel sabotaged, you were as well.
I was also. Maybe Hallel was sabotaging me. Okay, let me just conclude. We're done. I just want to tell you that today is Yom Kippur Katan. What is Yom Kippur Katan? Today there are many people that are fasting. Many holy people today are fasting. It's Erev Rosh Chodesh. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. Every year when we come to Rosh Hashanah, we first usher in the new year, and then we have a 10-day pause to do teshuva for our sins leading to Yom Kippur. And the question is, it should be just the opposite. Before we come into the new year, we should first cleanse ourselves. Wouldn't it be much more logical that we should first have Yom Kippur? We should do teshuva for all of our past averos and reach a degree of purity. And now, after those 10 days of teshuva and Yom Kippur, we'll then come to the new year. We can be mispala, we can blow the shofar, tekab, shofar gadol, and come into a new year, a new Rosh Hashanah. Isn't that the logical order of the way the festival should be laid out in the calendar? Absolutely. However, Chazal say, it's not the way we're going to do it. Hashem says it's not the way we're going to do it, because the truth is there really is no end. There's no end to how much tshuva you can do. If you want to go plan for Rosh Hashanah by demanding that as a prerequisite to come into Rosh Hashanah, that you be tahar, that you cleanse yourself from avera, you'll never ever get there. You'll never ever make it. So Chazal said, we're going to do just the opposite. The Torah said just the opposite. We're right away going to have a Rosh Hashanah. We're going to come to the new year. And then we're going to work backwards, reflect, and try to undo the damage that may have been present at the time of Rosh Hashanah. However, the correct approach is really the first way, that a person should not come into the new year unless he first is pure. That's exactly what Yom Kippur Katan is all about. Every Rosh Chodesh is a miniature Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the Rosh of the entire year. It's the Rosh of all of the Chodoshim. But each Chodesh is a leader. Each Chodesh, each Rosh Chodesh is the beginning of a new Tekufa, a new Zaman, a new month. And especially Nisan. Nisan is the beginning of all of the months of the year. Before you come into a new beginning, you have to prepare. You have to cleanse yourself from your sins of the past. And the day to do that is the day before Rosh Chodesh. The day before Rosh Chodesh is Yom Kippur. We call Yom Kippur Katan, a minor Yom Kippur. Why is the Yom Kippur of the Rosh Chodesh before Rosh Chodesh, whereas the Yom Kippur of Rosh Hashanah after Rosh Hashanah? The answer is, for the big, big day of Rosh Hashanah, we can't rely upon everyone doing it right, doing teshuva in advance, and then coming in a state of tahara into the new year. So we just immediately, we have for the tzibur, for Klal Yisrael as a whole, we have no choice but to accept upon ourselves the new year, and then we'll do the best that we can to make up, to take away any impurities that we have in our neshamas by doing teshuva for 10 days. But when it comes to the individual months of the year, here we want to do it right. The correct way for the individual is, before you come into a new era, a new tekufa, prepare yourself in advance. So each month by itself, individual months, Yom Kippur comes before Rosh Hashanah. In the big picture, for Klal Yisrael, you have to come on to the lowest common denominator. And the lowest common denominator demands that we just do it. We begin the year, and then we try to repair the best that we can any damage that may have been present when the year began. But for the individual, for the minor parts of the year, there we strive to do things the way they really should be done. First do teshuva before we come to accept upon ourselves a new zman and a new era. Rabbi Sai, tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. It's not just an ordinary Rosh Chodesh. Rishon hu lochem l'chodshei hashanah. It's a new tekufa. We have to have emuna. It's a new tekufa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he looks at the world with a fresh set of eyes, with a new feeling, a new sensation, a new motivation, and it's going to be different. Things are going to change, and we are mispalel, they should change for the better, a lot better. It's a zman that's misugal for hischatshus, for change, for bracha, for blessing. But it's not Rosh Hashanah. It's the Rosh Chodashim. And when we deal with the Rosh Chodashim, the individual Rosh Chodashim, the procedure is, you can't come into the new tekufa unless you first do teshuva. When it comes to Rosh Hashanah, you don't have to do teshuva. I know Elul is a zman when we gear up. But the ikar zman of doing teshuva is after Rosh Hashanah. The new era begins, and then we do teshuva leading to Yom Kippur. But for the individual chodoshim, especially for tomorrow, for Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the procedure, the technique, the method is, first we need to do teshuva. And that is a power that fuels the hischachus, the renewal of the sanctity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu looking down upon this world with a fresh approach, a will to give blessing, refuah, yeshua, parnasa, and all the brocha that comes with it. So we have to today, Rabbi Yisai, take advantage. There are a few more hours left until the day is over. To daven mincha with kavana. If one has the ability, you can daven, you can say the slichos of Yom Kippur Katan. It's mostly Tehillim. There are a few slichos. They're not all that difficult to understand. We have a little translation, just to get a little flavor of saying slichos. And we have to be mispalel that indeed HaKadosh Baruch Hu should look upon the world with a fresh, optimistic outlook to bring for all of us, the klal and the prat, all those who need refuah should have a refuah shlema b'karayv. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should protect, guard, ki'ishoin bas oyin, like the pupil of his eye, every single one of us, to be protected from any disease, any virus, any machla, and should bring for all of us yeshuos, nechomos, parnasa, gezunt, yemale Hashem, kol, mish'alos, libcha, l'toiva. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisai. Be well. Please daven mincha. Don't forget daven mincha. Daven, say a little tehillim today. And Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow, we'll pick up at 9:30. Even though tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh, I don't think anyone's coming late tomorrow. I'll try to be on time also. 9:30, try to come with a battery pack. It's fully charged. Okay, be well. All the best to all of you.
And have a mute button that would control everybody, please.
Okay. I have to log in as the host so I can mute you all.
Oh, you're the host.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Rabbi Levine.
Be well. All the best to all of you.
And more power to you.
Thank you very much. Be well. Enjoy the day. Well, enjoy the day. Hatzlocha Rabbah to you all.
Amen.
Good Chodesh.
Good Chodesh to all.
Amen.
Be well.
Kol Tov. How do we leave?
Mark, you're trying to leave? Thank you.